Hey folks, welcome to Thin Line Believers. Adam, and sitting next to me here in my pickup, our recording studio, is Steve.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
Yeah, about time we got back together again. I know it's been a while, and I think I'm speaking for both of us when I say, well, we're gonna try and do this a little bit more. I know that doing it solo is kind of a thing that we do because we have to every now and then.
Yeah.
But hopefully, with the help of some technology via Skype or whatever we end up using,
our good old fashioned cars.
Yeah. Hopefully, we can figure something out.
Right.
But so obviously today, we'd like to talk about Christmas a bit. And I think before we do that, I think we were going to give an update maybe on kind of the direction we're hoping to head with this.
Take it away, man.
So,
if you haven't been following our Instagram and our Facebook page, you probably have missed a little bit of what kind of where we're heading. we have some stickers that we're putting out, and just kind of branding wise, to kind of get the, our service for His glory out there as Thin Line Believers. And we actually are moving towards becoming a charitable organization so that we can effectively take in donations and push those donations out to those who need it within the Thin Line. So that's the direction we're heading. Look for updates on Facebook, on Instagram, all those things. We update that fairly regularly, but hoping to start doing that a little bit more regularly than we have as things progress. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and not, I mean, donations are awesome, and we got to partner with some good organizations that we can push those out to. Obviously, we don't want to put that in our pocket. In fact, that's the last thing that we really want to do. But another way that we're thinking about doing this is maybe some apparel,
mm-hmm.
maybe something like that. Some things with some logos, some Christian-based first responder type apparel.
Yeah.
Stickers, whatever. And so, we wanted to mention this because we need prayer in this. We want to make sure that this is led by God. And we don't want to take one step unless it is.
Absolutely.
But so far, the way things have worked out, we're really kind of feeling like this is a direction that we should go. And I know for me personally, there's been a lot of pull to start giving.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a desire I've got. It's a desire you've got. And I think this is a good way to do it. And it's a good alternative if you want to, fill your closet or something and you don't want to go. Maybe you don't want to go grunt style. Maybe you don't want some forged, or maybe you have too much of that and people are, making fun of you. Maybe some Thin Line Believer stuff is the way to go. So we'll let you know. We'll let you know what that comes.
Yeah, take a look at the new logo that was created by a friend of ours, Corey Bergman.
Mm-hmm.
He did an awesome job in kind of revamping our logo and making it look the way that it has. So a little shout out to him when he's tuning in so that he knows we appreciate his work as well.
Yeah, awesome. So.
So joy.
Joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. So, this is unscripted this week, which is generally, for me anyway, it's best that way. Because I'm just kind of share what comes to mind.
Yeah.
And so earlier today, Steve, knowing I was coming up here, asked what was on my mind. And it just so happened that joy was on my mind, which is something that has, in the past, has escaped me. And I don't feel like there's a shame associated with that, mm-hmm. but in this season, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, we sing joy to the world. And I don't always feel that.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the world right now, in our country right now, in the world right now.
Yeah.
Just, it seems like everything that's being put out there is stripping the joy from what should be there. you know, if you follow the news, which I try not to, listen to the radio or watch the TV or anything like that, because it does. It robs me of my joy if I do. And I let it do that, which is my choice, but it's something that is easily affecting a lot of us out there these days. So, yeah.
Yeah, not just that, but it seems like at work, things are a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
They're different than they used to be. You know, I actually had a talk with, well, we talk about him every now and then, my buddy Dean, who's been on the show before, show, the podcast, whatever.
It's a show.
He's been on here before. He's a brother, and we actually talked about this the other day, how we don't handle the things that we experience on the job the same as we did 5, even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, we could go back to the office and we could joke about it. We could, and everybody understood that it's not PC culture, but it was a way to cope with what we're dealing with.
A coping mechanism, absolutely.
And that seems to have gone away. And I don't know what to blame exactly. If it is this PC culture, or if it's just people are different now, and that's fine.
Next generation.
But I mean, there's always ups and downs to it. There's good and there's bad that come along with it, right? And I don't necessarily think this is a good thing, because I can't go back to the office with the guy. I mean, granted, most of the guys that I work with, they're pretty salty, so I can do this with a lot of them.
Yeah.
But there is a new thing that you don't do that anymore. You don't go back and joke about it. You don't.
Yeah, there's a joke in our office that, with a lot of things that get said in the office, we'll joke with each other saying, "You can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say that anymore. You can't say that. You can't joke like that."
Yeah.
So I mean, it's become this joke on top of what's not a joke for us, because then I can't release the stress how I used to. I got to figure out how to maybe do this a little differently.
Yeah.
And find other ways to keep that joy, like we're talking about, in our lives, which at times, you know, in our line of work is hard to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So
I mean, I think that there is a good with that, right? There's a good in that they've recognized that there are some folks that are a little more sensitive to this stuff. And, you know, I think we've actually talked to your wife about secondary trauma in the past.
Yep.
And I know that's a real thing and it can happen. You know, if somebody's not directly involved and they hear about this kind of stuff, it can mess with you.
Absolutely. Okay?
So granted, there is some good, you know, coming along with it. I think really it comes down to knowing your audience, but you don't know how everybody's going to, perceive it.
Right.
And that's, you know, one of our statewide things is, how do you perceive
it? How do you perceive what's being,
But, so I think, with a lot of this, I know personally I've had a harder time finding that joy and the peace, you know, the peace of mind.
And I think, like you were talking about, I think a lot of it is with the perception of what you're either dealing with or going through, or how you're perceiving it and how you're reacting to those things that will allow you to keep that joy or not. You know, I know we were talking about this week, Adam brought in Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes, and we kind of talked about it a little bit before we started today.
Yeah.
Just in reading through those and kind of replacing joy and hand in hand with, you know, the blessed are statements that go into these, and kind of breaking them down, you know, one at a time, and being, well, why would you be blessed? Why would you have joy in this situation?
Yeah.
And then knowing what the Lord does in your life, and how he turns that situation into joy, and, you know, through his works and his mercy and all that. And just going through each one of these, we went through about, you know, four of them before we started, and just going, yeah, that's good. And just knowing what the Lord can do with a bad situation and with a bad moment, you know, in our lives, which we've talked about a lot, on this podcast and with folks, you know, who have joined us and have been gracious enough to. So,
yeah, and So the reason I came to this is because, like we started off, Christmas season, joy to the world. Well, okay, so we get into Matthew chapter 5, and so this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is a pretty long sermon, really, mm-hmm. but we're going to focus on Matthew 5. What do we got? Verses 3 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
I guess 11.
11.
So there are Bible teachers who, if you ask, okay, what does blessed mean? Well, it doesn't mean material wealth.
Right.
Right. What it really boils down to is joyful.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you ask for God's blessing, you're asking for essentially joy,
mm-hmm.
among other things. But that's kind of the root of it is joy.
Yeah.
And, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, bring joy to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, we started reading through these, and I think, you know, we called it maybe a roadmap to joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I even had one of these verses actually in my patrol car at one time.
Hmm.
I should probably get it back again. But I think we'll break these down into two parts, each of these verses, because really that's how I understand it best.
Yeah, for sure.
So to start with verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, joyful are the poor in spirit. Well, that doesn't make any sense until you read the second part, right?
Right.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, I mean, here's somebody, you look at somebody who'd be poor in spirit, and if you see somebody on the street or on the road or whatever it is, whatever job you have, and you see somebody who's poor in spirit, you're not going to be thinking, oh, well, you know, it's okay. They've got the kingdom of heaven, and they're probably not thinking that, most of them, right?
Yeah.
But being able to speak to those things into people's lives whenever you get the opportunity can really speak some truth into their life that, okay, yeah, things are rough right now, but the Lord's going to handle it. The Lord can handle it, you know, and yours is the kingdom of heaven in the end, you know.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of Paul when he talked about, you know, I've learned to be content in with whatever I have, whether mm-hmm. it's with little or with much.
Yeah.
And so in this case, blessed are those, kind of almost saying those who have little, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
They will have much.
It's almost like this upside down kingdom, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're first upside down here, kingdom, you're going to be last in heaven.
Upside down kingdom by earthly standards.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Okay, you're not going to feel very joyful when you're mourning, right?
Not at the time, you're not.
For they will be comforted.
And I think that, you know, I think a lot of that comes with your mindset, for one, right? I can tell you I've mourned quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And the times that I don't include the Lord in my mourning, it's a lot harder.
Oh, absolutely.
If you include the Lord in there, you can feel that comfort come. I mean, you can feel that presence with you, and it does lift you up. It might not lift you out quite yet,
mm-hmm.
but it will lift you up from where you are without having that there.
Well, I've always thought about it kind of like this way. To the degree to which you suffer, the Lord will provide that sustenance that you need.
Yeah,
but for sure. If you suffer here and you go around saying, Steve, man, I am having such a hard time. Woe is me.
Right.
You know, you're not going to get the comfort from God because you're looking for
human. You're making human it about comfort. You, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So I think that's important. That's an important little side note here. But that's still, you're going to be comforted, and that is where you get your joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, moving along here. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Yeah.
So maybe we should define meek. So it's been defined as, how does he put it? It's almost like a horse, okay? There's power, but it's controlled.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Now, I know in today's day and age, you hear the word meek and you almost think like...
Weak.
Weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of backing away into a corner, a dog with its tail between its legs.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But I don't believe that's what the biblical meaning is. However, even if that is, why would they have joy? Because
right.
they'll inherit the earth.
Yeah, because in the end, it's theirs.
Yeah. And Revelation says that you and I are going to come back with Jesus to Rule and Reign.
Let's do this.
So,
okay. let's do that. Are we ready?
Yeah, exactly, right?
All right.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Oh, man. That's a big one right there.
Yeah.
I mean, just the hunger and thirst, but the hunger and thirsting for righteousness. I mean, just the fact that if you're seeking that those things out, you're seeking out righteousness, he's saying he's going to fill you up. He's going to fill you with that. And it's not going to be easy, maybe not, you know. I mean, as we've seen, a lot of our growth has come with trials and thirst and hunger for those things. But there's his promise that those who do thirst and hunger for that, they're going to be filled. And he's going to fulfill that promise, which is mind-blowing to me. It's like, yeah.
Is there a better time than now to live this out? I mean, you were just talking about the news, yeah. Right? Okay. I don't want to go totally political, but I'm going to. Impeachment, okay?
Yeah.
We are a country completely divided right now.
Yeah.
And it's up at the top. Those are supposed to be our leaders. These are the people that we voted for to put into office.
Yeah.
And they are completely divided.
Yeah.
A house divided cannot stand.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Jesus said that. Yeah. And here we are, a completely divided country. What better time when you see all the baloney going on,
mm-hmm.
all the crap, what better time than now to stand for righteousness?
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm not saying that you have to go around and hold a sign or wear a sandwich board or anything like that. What I'm saying is, if you keep your house in order, if you stand for what is right, a time is going to come when you're going to have to actually make a decision.
Yeah.
And it may very well affect your livelihood. Okay. But you're going to find joy ultimately because it says, for they will be filled.
Mm-hmm.
My cup runneth over,
mm-hmm.
right? There's no yeah. better feeling than actually having yourself filled up with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
So, stand for what's right. That's what I think about when I read that verse.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, blessed. Oh, this is a big one because this pops into my head probably every shift. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That one often doesn't make sense. Is this for you?
Yeah.
That's all right. We got this. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. We had to take a pause for the UPS guy showing up here. But anyway, getting back to it. Okay, so like I said, I think about this one probably every shift. And maybe I take it a little too far because maybe I don't write enough tickets. I don't know. But anyway, blessed are the merciful.
You're a trooper.
Right?
You're supposed to be writing tickets the whole time.
No.
Come on.
No, I don't think so. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
That's a tough one. I mean,
it can
I think
be.
for most people, that's a tough one. Right? So, I mean,
let's define mercy real quick, okay?
Yeah.
So grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you show mercy? I mean, I show mercy with my kids.
Yeah.
And it's because of grace that I can show mercy.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's because God is merciful to me that I can be merciful to others.
Mm-hmm.
It's, so you know the parable about the slaves that was thrown in prison, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I think of it a lot like that, right? Whatever debt somebody else has to me is so minuscule and minute
mm-hmm.
compared to the debt that I have that was paid for on the cross.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so this one I carry a lot. It just, for some reason, that one sticks in my head a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of those that really gets your head thinking. You know, for me, it's one that, it's one of those that you chew on and you strive for and you,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that one's probably out of all of these, maybe one of the harder ones for me. Which
I feel like the next one is easier for you, Steve.
What? I don't know about that. So, yeah, he's saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I think you can take that a few different ways. You know, that there are very few people that have truly seen God, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Ever. And the people who had seen them and who were not pure were struck down.
Yeah.
I mean, died right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take it that way, I think, a little bit, right?
Yeah, you want to go into detail on that one? Because that's really cool. You're talking about the tabernacle. You're talking about the Holy of Holies, right?
Yeah, that's...
So the high priest, once a year,
yep,
would go into the Holy of Holies behind this veil, and I don't remember how thick this... It's like 6-8 inch thick veil.
Yep.
And he would go in there, and he would actually... he would wear the bells,
mm-hmm,
and they would tie a rope to his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
So, bells and pomegranates, I believe. And so, if they stopped hearing that... Because he would go in there to offer a sacrifice.
Right.
And if it was accepted, they'd be good for the year.
Yeah.
Right? The Israelites, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, if he went in there and he had an impure heart, essentially, mm-hmm, right, he would die.
Basically, he's
because
done.
Sin cannot go before God. It just can't.
Yeah.
God is absolutely pure. And nothing like that will live in his presence.
And to really break that down more and to think about the fact that happened, you know, before the time of Christ, and then to see that God sent his son to take on all the sins and impurities of everybody else, just to see the magnitude of that and to compare those two things side by side, I can't fathom it. You know, where there are these people before that were in the presence of God, and if you were impure, you were killed, you were dead.
Mm-hmm.
But then he sends his son to die on the cross to take all of our sins and impurities, mm-hmm, so that we could see him later.
And the veil was torn.
And the veil was ripped in half.
The veil was ripped in half, signifying, it's been paid for, come before me.
Yep.
Your sins have been paid.
That's a huge one.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You can take this verse right here and circle that and remember this, because what Jesus did on the cross allows you and me to come before God with a pure heart, not our own.
Right.
Not our own pure heart, because we are as filthy rags.
None of us have them, right.
Right?
Yep.
Like, just like Isaiah couldn't come before the Lord. He was filthy.
Yep.
But this says that you and me can come before the Lord knowing that we have the purity of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As believers, we have that purity, and we can come freely before the Lord, and we will see God.
Yeah.
We absolutely will. And it won't be at the judgment seat. It will be at the mercy seat.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Cool.
Okay. Well, rolling into the one that everybody knows if you're a cop or a thin line of anything, this one is blasted everywhere.
And this one came to mind, actually, when I started thinking about this. Okay, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little hang up on this one.
Mm.
Because, okay, sure, we're police officers, we're first responders, we're dispatchers, we're firefighters and veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Paramedics, I hope I didn't leave anybody out.
Corrections. All those guys.
Right.
Yes, everybody.
So, does that all count as peacemakers? What does it mean to be a peacemaker, Steve?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Because I can tell you
we lump everybody into that. We lump all ourselves into that.
Yeah.
But
I may be going out on the road and I'm not feeling that joy because,
mm-hmm,
am I really being a peacemaker, or
right,
am I out there hunting?
Right.
Am I hunting for people to take to jail?
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be done. I'm not saying that's wrong, but what's your motive?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you there to spread the peace of the Lord? Are you there to build your stats?
Right.
Are you there to feel the power over your fellow man?
Right.
So maybe if you're not feeling the joy, maybe step back and have a look and see, mm-hmm, what you're doing. Where do you find your joy in this job? Steve, where do you find your joy at work?
I find my joy at work just in trying to bring the Lord to work. I think is where my joy stays. Just being that person that's different than most that are there. Bringing the Lord with me, you know, however that is presented every day.
And you find that He puts you in these situations, right? They just, if you didn't know the Lord, these things would just oddly happen, but
right.
It's spirit led, right?
Yeah.
And I have these too.
Yeah.
And when I didn't have a relationship with God, like I do now, I didn't have these.
Yeah. You're not attuned to it. You're not prepared for when it does flash in front of you and you're like, oh, I'm going to use that. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And when you realize that, I think you become an actual peacemaker.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's something different about you at that point.
Yep.
And that's where you find your joy.
There it is.
Okay. So, blessed are those who are persecuted.
Because of righteousness.
Because of righteousness.
Yep. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Man, this doesn't happen a ton in our country. To a degree, there is some persecution because of...
Well, there's some discomfort.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not true persecution. When you look at back when ISIS was running rampant and they were throwing videos and photos of themselves killing Christians. I mean, that is persecution. That is, you know, people out to kill you because of what your belief is.
I think we should pray for persecution.
Yeah,
I really do. Case in point, I'll talk about two countries real quick.
Okay.
China. Mm-hmm. China number one. Persecution was huge. Yes, and I'm told, I'm not told. I was listening to Francis Chan, who talked about these believers in China who are actually praying for persecution to come to the United States because in China, the faith was growing so rapidly under persecution.
Yeah.
They wanted that same relationship I don't want to be lukewarm.
Yeah.
I don't want to be lukewarm. I mean, in Revelation, the first, chapter 2 or 3, Jesus says, you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be on fire for my faith, right?
Yep.
And those folks in China, they have to be.
They have something to fight for.
If you're lukewarm with your faith in China, you basically don't have a faith.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, country number two, Iran.
Mm.
One of our biggest enemies right now. One of the biggest enemies of Israel right now. But it's not the people of Iran that are enemies. It's the administration. It's the hierarchy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the Christian faith is growing crazily.
You look at that's Iran. In the beginning, that's what really happened. You know, I mean, when Christ was on earth and that was growing, it was being persecuted everywhere it went.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think when you are uncomfortable, it tends to grow that faith and that, you know, that drive for that faith even more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that has been lost in this country quite a bit because we are so comfortable with the fact that we can have our faith, right? We can have it and we can go to church and we don't have to, you know, meet in underground or in secret houses, you know, to practice our faith. I think that's where a lot of us become that lukewarm that you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's the enemy at work because it is working. People are leaving the faith in droves, and it's because they haven't been challenged. And when they finally are challenged, they don't hold their ground, and it's really sad. Having your nativity seen kicked over is not persecution,
right?
You know. Not having Jesus on a Starbucks cup is not persecution.
Right.
And so, just if you're listening to this, understand that even though we don't live in a time of persecution, we should be exercising our faith as if we are.
Absolutely.
Because realistically, what comes after this is either heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be reminded of that, especially in this season of Christmas, that we need to bring the joy to other people. I think we got one more, right, Steve?
We got one more.
Okay, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus said. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, I've not been persecuted for my faith, right? I am aware that there may be a day coming when that'll happen.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. The worst thing that has happened to me is if I offer to pray for somebody and, you know, they turn up their nose at me or look at me like I'm crazy. And I enjoy those times. I really do.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I kind of look forward to the persecution, because I think it'll bring a lot of people to a saving knowledge of who Jesus really is. Seems like when we go through the hard stuff, that's when we finally call out, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Time and time again. We don't learn the first time, that's for sure, or the second.
Yeah.
You know, and just seeing that in all of these, a lot of the times our reward is a godly reward. You know, that joy is a godly reward. And if we can keep that joy in our lives more often and use the Lord to bring joy in others, that it is going to keep that joy in our lives. I mean, it's going to continue to stoke that fire within us, like we're talking about, you know, wanting to be on fire. And if you don't add fuel to that fire, it's not going to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, you fall away from it. You quit reading your Bible. You quit praying or offering to pray for people.
Mm-hmm.
You quit using those opportunities that the Lord puts in front of you, or just recognizing that they're there, is when that fire starts to burn out. Yeah. You know, and I've seen it in my life. I'm sure you have at times too. Mm-hmm. You know, that we need to be conscientious about, you know, what we're doing and the purpose behind it, to maintain that. So, yeah,
that's true. I think in a lot of these, what we're seeing is that the hard times come in, I guess, in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
The comforts and the joy come from the spiritual world.
Yeah.
So when we go through these different things, and when we live our life a certain way in the physical world, we can expect the joy to come from the spiritual world. However, if we seek our own joy in the physical world, it's not going to come from the spiritual world. And this is more of that kind of upside down,
right,
you know, thinking here.
Yeah.
And I don't like it that way. I don't. It goes against my gut, my instincts, right? My instincts say I'm going to go out there and I'm going to find joy. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I haven't drank in years now, but that used to be kind of a way, okay, the weekend's coming, I can go drink, and I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get my joy in the physical world.
Mm.
I'm going to get my joy in the flesh.
Yeah.
Right? And then, oddly enough, I don't get it in the spiritual, right? I don't get that joy. When that drunk wears off, I go back to feeling as bad or worse than I did before.
Yeah, probably worse, right?
Right. But when I'm disciplined in this stuff, when I read this today, like I said, almost a roadmap. But it's a physical roadmap that takes you to the spiritual.
Yeah.
And so this is counterintuitive for me, but it works.
Oh, for sure.
It's almost like I talked a few weeks ago about how I had finally reached a point where I said, okay, enough is enough. The word says to praise and to give praise, James 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that. Count it all joy. Mm-hmm. And so I just started praising. And you know what ended up happening? Spiritual joy.
There it is.
Test this stuff. Don't test God. Just
please don't test God.
But what I'm saying is test this stuff. When you go through a hard time, seek God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't seek alcohol. Don't seek physical highs. Don't seek, you know, relationships to lift you up.
Mm-hmm. Don't seek earthly things.
Yeah, ice cream.
Ice cream. Lots of ice cream.
Yeah, video games. Whatever your escape is.
Yeah.
If it's not God, it's not right.
For sure.
So, Merry Christmas, guys. Seriously, Merry Christmas. The year is drawn to a close, and we want to encourage you in the new year to really think about this stuff, and I'm going to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
When you run into these tough spots, what do you look for first?
Yeah. Yeah.
And think about that, because for me, it used to be probably TV. Like, man, I am going through a hard time. I want to escape. TV.
TV comes on.
Yeah.
Veg out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For my wife, for a while there, it was a nap. Mm-hmm. Go to sleep. Like, man, this is hard. I'm going to go
I'm
sleep.
I'm
going to
go sleep. Mm-hmm.
But interesting. That's not where it should be. That's not here.
Well, we're heading into 2020.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw out the cliche that we all need to stay focused.
Nice.
For 2020.
Yeah.
Focus on the Lord. You know, keep that, our eyes set there, and, you know, really push your faith. Because when you do, you're going to be amazed what opens up, because we would never think of where we would be now, 2 years ago, when we started this thing as just an email.
Yeah.
And just what the Lord's hand has been, and what we continue to see the Lord's hand in this outreach and in the growth of it. So, yeah. So we will talk to you next year. We'll chat with you again and keep updates. Keep up on the updates. I think we're going to kind of wean off the emails for those who are still getting those. So keep up on the updates on Instagram, on Facebook. If you have suggestions on how else to do that, you can subscribe to these podcasts too, so that they will actually tell you when there's a new one that comes up there too, if you're not on social media, which I know a lot of people aren't on it, and I get that. So yeah, just be aware of what's going on, and if you guys have any prayer requests or suggestions or anything like that going forward, even guest suggestions, we'd love that too. As far as who we can reach out to bring to everybody who listens. So,
oh, I guess something I didn't talk about, you know, you're speaking of emails and that kind of thing. We may simplify, I can't talk, this a little more even. We bought several domain names, mm-hmm. actually.
Yeah.
And just so you guys know, we're doing this out of pocket, okay? It's because we love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't get any money from these podcasts, okay? This is what we're led to do, and so we're going to do it regardless of how we do it. You know, yep. Paul was a tent maker, so
right.
And that funded his ministry. But anyway, what I'm getting at is we bought a lot of domain names, and so thinlinebelievers.com will probably be there in the not-too-distant future, and mm-hmm. we can put some updates and hopefully post our podcast on there. So
yeah, that'll
maybe
be another
that'll
way
simplify
to,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, to get updates for it. So,
all right. Well, thanks for sitting in my truck, Steve. I appreciate that. So
yeah.
All right, guys, check it out. Like Steve said, get a hold of us. And Merry Christmas. Seriously, if you have needs, please reach out. Don't be stubborn. Just like we can be stubborn ourselves, but we're slowly learning to move away from that. So. God bless. Take care.